Emma and Sam with us today. It's been such a blessing. We'd had a phone conversation a few weeks ago, and that's been the largest part of our communication up to now. But we have just loved you being with us. You've added into our lives and our journey, and I'd love you to give a big welcome to Emma. Bless you.
Thank you. Good morning, family. How are you doing this morning? Well, you know, whenever we receive an invitation to come and minister, I don't just the day before think, oh, Jesus, what would you like me to say? You kind of worm your way into my heart, and my intercessors and I start to pray for you some number of months out. And so when I turn up, I feel like I'm already in love with you guys, okay? And so my heart is full of, you know, how much can we set you free? And how much can we collectively, the guys praying in Glasgow, although you'll know this is an Irish accent, but I did marry a Scottish man 20 years ago and made my home in Glasgow with him. And they're praying and for you this morning. Whenever we travel, people say, you know, what's your version of the prophetic? Because every prophetic house has a slightly different feel. And I would answer that in three words. We're interested in prophecy, in faith, and in war. We love to fight because we always win. Come on. Because every name bows to the name of Jesus. And so I'm going to fight over you this morning and for you this morning, and I hope with you this morning. And so you're going to feel quite Anglican because there's going to be a lot of up and down and up and down, if that's okay. And when we get you to stand up, I'm just going to fight and bring some freedom and some deliverance according to the word of the Lord. So it's not just to sit and listen, if that's you up for keeping up with me. Good stuff. All right. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say this, that you carry a very rare call of God, one that many churches never get to fully step into. And you have a particular call to what I heard the Lord call radical pioneering, that you are not just pioneers, because there are many pioneers, but you are called to rabid, radical pioneering. And it is a gift given to a few to truly set a fresh expression of how God wants to be known in a generation. And the Lord says over this church, you will even set a standard for many other churches in many nations. And that is why your warfare has been so great up to this point. And the Lord says, this is a house that I have asked to lead. And the Lord says, you have a serious call, and yet there is much adventure to be delighted in that will thrill your heart as rabid pioneers. And the Lord says, I am resurrecting your joy that has ebbed as a people rather than flowed. And the Lord says, I will put joy back into this house, and the emotion of your salvation, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And the Lord says, where your pioneering had got a little bit sluggish because of all the things you had needed to fix and sort, the Lord says, I am cracking over you a fresh ability to run forward and pioneer as a unit in joy. Do you want me to use that one instead? Okay. We're on. Woo! And the Lord knows that you are not to look like the church next to you. And the Lord says, you are to be a church that provokes and even agitates and sets a standard for the region and also beyond it. And the Lord says, I want you to be different enough that the difference can be measured so that you can be a challenge, because if you're only a little bit different, nobody really notices. and no one is really challenged. And God knows that this brings a different sort of conversation into a leadership team, because you are always a leadership team in a straining forward position. And radical pioneers, it is never business as usual. It is never same old, because deep within this church's DNA is a call that cannot be silenced to break new ground and to see the kingdom of God come. And when you feel stuck, as you have felt a little bit for the last couple of years, it makes you want to spit. For God did not wire you for same old, or to be the people that you have seen modeled elsewhere. And the Lord says, I have called you together and I have made you a family, though it took a lot of fight to find the family dynamic that you may cause, says the Lord, many to stop and even re-examine their entire church structure and even their denominational alignment. For the Lord says, you wear the chief pioneering mantle for the region. If you do not advance, the region will not advance. That's what that means. That's a serious call. And I heard the Lord say, I am getting ready for you to shine. It is your time to shine. And I am getting ready, says the Lord, to draw the gold out of you. For there is something in you that has been hidden. And you're going to shine in a way you have never shone before. And I could feel as I prayed for you, the frustration in the house. And even the pain that had come because of the spirit of delay. And the processes that you've had to walk through in the last years that you did not even seek or desire to walk through. And the Lord says, today I am bringing the treasures forth that I already put in you. And the Lord says, it is time. Now, don't you love it when God says, it is time? And actually, you want to go, oh, hallelujah, Jesus, and even weep a bit because you know that previously it was not time. But the Lord says, it is time for that which I created you in the earth to now be seen. And if I'm going to war one scripture over you, it's this. And Femi, you can put it up. Ezekiel 12:28. I heard the Lord say this one very clearly. Therefore say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. None of my words will be delayed any longer. Another translation says, no more delay. Whatever I say will be fulfilled, declares the Lord. Can you just stand to your feet? Now, you know, if you've read Daniel 7, that the two things that Satan tries to set are the laws and the times. And I feel like Satan has said over this church, I will set your timings, right out of Daniel 7. That's my remit, to set your timings. And I feel like you have been caged where some things that you knew you wanted never came because you were on Satan's timing. And so when the Lord said this scripture to me, no more delay. That is the word of the Lord. But I'm going to have to get you to shout that, no more delay, so that we can break those demonic timings off your church. And I felt like the Lord say to me, when we do this, there will be a rush of successive decisions that are made, particularly about the building, and it will spring forth, says God. And so let's just go together. No more delay. No more delay. Let me just pray. In the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit that has stood against you, that says that it will own your timings. And I say, you will not touch this church any longer in the mighty name of Jesus. And with our collective agreement, we say to that hindering spirit that is setting your times, you get off and you back off. And we set an exclusion zone around this church. And we say that this church now will work according to the timing of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. Whew. This is the year that the the year of the open door. And in the Hebrew language, you know, Hebrew is a very pictorial language. The number 8 for 2018 is drawn as an open door. It's also the Hebrew year 5778. The Hebrew calendar was not reset. And 8, again, the open door. And it is the year, and most of the prophets would be carrying a message internationally on the back of that imagery, that we're in the year of crossing over, we're in the year of open door, we're all preaching that together. But it is a time to go through and into a new place. But I heard the Lord say this: it is about you going beyond. Say, go beyond where you have been before. And the Lord would say to you, church, you are going to go beyond where you have previously been in your finances and your provision. And it looks like that's, and you're going to see a lot more of that kind of giving. And the Lord says, you're going to go beyond where you went in your last victory and your last war. You're going to go beyond your last strength level. That's a hallelujah right there. You're going to go beyond your last level of glory. You're going to go beyond your last business deal. Don't settle for first offers. This is a go beyond time. And the Lord says, you're going to go beyond your last level of signs and wonders and miracles. You are going to go beyond how the church has ever been known in the nation, because you are the pioneering church, and you're going to go beyond your expectations and dreams. And as we flew into this region, I felt like I was flying into a womb as we landed. And the Lord said to me, you are entering, as I came into Exeter, the womb of the nation. And what is birthed here will go across the nation. And the Lord says, this is a place for birthing new ministries, birthing new books, birthing new business models. Come on. And some of you just need to catch hold of that. And the Lord says, but I am putting the go beyond anointing on what you birth. And it is time to step over and step into the days of going beyond, for this is the go beyond season, and the Lord welcomes you into it right now. But the Lord says, as you step into this season and as you go through the door, I will force the trauma that you have previously carried out of you. And the Lord says, I am healing this church's history, and I am healing your nervous systems. And the Lord says, the trauma that this church still carries is not failure. But the Lord says, the trauma is the pain and the cost of holding a godly position through the last season. And the Lord says, the trauma you carry has come from the last season, where you had to keep pioneering even when it was hard. And the Lord says to you, you will come into a time where your joy will overcome your trauma, where you will be the church that will wake up with faith thoughts that you did not even think you could have. You will see your way, says the Lord, where you could not before. That is massive. You will collectively see your way where you could not before. The Lord says, a new energy is coming to you from heaven. You will see where you are to go. You will see where you are to build, and it will not be hidden, and you will gain momentum. And the Lord says, I have come today like lightning to break the captivity off your previous season. And the Lord says, as you choose to move forward, an energy sent by my Spirit will come upon you. And supernatural things will happen to you in the night, says the Lord. And you will wake up with a new vibrancy that is unrecognizable. Now, wave at me if you have sleep problems. Oh, Lord, look at that. And wave at me if you feel like, oh, I have just felt a little bit worn out recently, like it's been really... So both those groups, put their hands up. No wonder God is saying this. You can stand and own it as well, but yes. But I heard, yes, you're just going to get doubly free, that's all. Okay. And the Lord says to you, my energy is coming to my people, says God. And the Lord says, what you could not press through before, a new energy will come on you. And the Lord says, I will give this church back her energy for breakthrough. You will overtake, says the Lord. There is a force and an energy and a dynamic of power that God is even releasing right now. And what you could not break through before, you will now smash. Let's jump to your feet. Come on, we're going to break this trauma. I told you it was up and down and up and down. We speak. Come on, Sam, raise your hands and just agree. We speak to every spirit of trauma that has come on this church and has stuck to this church even over many years. And the trauma of holding your position and the trauma you felt even of turning up here when you felt in pain and grieved and the trauma even from continuing to pioneer. And I speak over you that the trauma that sticks on this church, it is cut off right now in the name of Jesus. And we trample on it under our feet in the name of Jesus. And right now, just raise your hands, my family. Raise your hands. I loose back to you your energy as a house. I loose back to you even your ability to volunteer and to opt in. And where exhaustion made the volunteer spirit diminished, we resurrect both your energy and your volunteer spirit as a house together. And all God's people said, amen. Have a seat. Whew. Jeremiah 12, 5 and 6. If you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? And the Lord would say through this scripture, you'll know it well, you went at the speed of men and it wore you out. But now you have to learn to go faster than horses. And the question I would have is, why? Why, God, do I need to up the pace? Do we have that scripture? That's Jeremiah 12, 5 and 6. Because the scripture tells you that you are in the thickets by the Jordan. And Jordan is the place of your crossing over. And Jordan is the place where you move into promised land. And Jordan is the time just before the open door and the new. And what we know about the thickets in the Jordan, cross-referencing Amos and Jeremiah and Zechariah, is that the thickets is where the devouring and the mauling lions live. And you are in the thickets of your greatest opposition before the moment of your greatest breakthrough. And many of you will have felt in a place where I feel like I'm being devoured. I feel like I'm being mauled. And the Lord would say to you, I am giving you back your speed that you may cross over. And the Lord says, would you start to take the difficult decisions? The Lord says, do not hang back any longer from the conversations you are to have, even if they are challenging. The Lord says, do no longer let some things slide, for the Lord says you need to shift proactively out of the place of the thickets and see that your next step is a crossing over step. And the Lord would even say to you, it is not even a time for a third service to stand in the place of the thickets of opposition, but the Lord would say it is a time for the speed to come. So that is not a necessary step so that you can be a single unit and not divided and mauled, says the Lord. Ooh. I know prophets are a bit blunt and the Irish are very blunt too. It's a bit of a double whammy. The Lord says that the real war in the thicket that wants you to keep collectively from your fullness, and I think individually, is your identity right now. And it's the place of pressure at your door. And the Lord is saying to you this morning, who are you? Who are you? For God is reforming you so that you will be almost unrecognizable from who you are right now. And the real war over you is, and ask your neighbor, who are you? Turn to and ask your neighbor, who are you? And can I just say personally, if you have ever individually spoken badly about yourself, you're going to have to learn to get over that and repent, because you have an incredible destiny, both individually and corporately. And the Lord would say to you, who are you for this season? And I think the prayer that the Lord would give you for this moment is, God, help me be, help us be who you are asking us to be. We don't want to be anything else other than who you have asked us to be. And so that kind of question of the Lord took me to the two chapters in Scripture, Acts 19 and Matthew 16, where you see stories based around the who are you question. And in Acts 19, Paul, verse 11, Paul is working extraordinary miracles. And it's the only time in Scripture you read of an extraordinary miracle. And most of us are like, I just like an ordinary miracle. You know, God, that would be quite nice. But an extraordinary miracle, what sort of category is that? But Paul thought that he was the persecutor of the believers. Do you remember? He had been a religious Pharisee. And God wants you to lose the vision of who you think you are to be. And the Lord says, let go even of the vision, for it is too small. For the Lord says, it is time to rewrite the vision, because I have called you to be more radical than you have put down on paper. And God arrested Saul and made him Paul on the road to Damascus. And it took him 14 years to shift, to become who he's supposed to be. And when Paul hits his maturity moment, when Paul hits the moment where he knows who he is, it is at that point that his sweat goes into cloth and extraordinary miracles come. And I want to say to you that extraordinary miracles in Scripture only come to the people who know who they are. Same chapter, the who you are kind of chapters in Scripture. We then drop down to the next verses, and you're reading about the seven sons of Sceva, the Jewish priest's sons, and they love deliverance ministry, and they have a high regard for it. And so, of course, they're trying to deliver someone. And Acts 19, 15 to 16 says, one day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? And then the man who had the evil spirit, mercifully, this has not happened in any of our deliverance ministries, but the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all, and he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Whoa. And demons say, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And it's one thing for God to ask you who you are, but I actually believe that the enemy in this region is also looking at this church, and it's saying, well, who are you at the moment? And we learn from this scripture that deliverance ministry comes also from knowing who you are. And the Lord would say to you, you are heading into some things that are so way beyond, in the go beyond season, that you have to have confidence and even a refreshing of an enlarged vision to know what is in you. And the Lord would say this, do not get distracted with the small things, for there is a spirit of smallness that has come around your thinking. And the Lord says, break smallness and break your distractions so that you can see clearly who I am leading you to become. And the Lord Lord would say, it is time to break agreement with smallness, for I am releasing this morning in this house, says God, a new anointing to lead. And the Lord says, I am overturning where your leadership has been rejected in the region, says God, and where you could not even gain traction to pull some things together. And the Lord says, even where you were supposed to lead in the region, a new mantle will come and you will do it with ease, says the Lord. And even in the house where there was a time where you did not quite know what to do with each other's leadership gifts, the Lord says, I am coming to end the days of resistance against you and to help you even end the days of resistance to each other. And the Lord, I mean, that's a word, even I'm shocked at that word. And the Lord showed me that there had been a major battle in the house over big thinking leadership. And there was a sense of, well, if I do it timidly, if I negotiate, you know, if I think in a small way, you know, well, the enemy would say, you know, I'll sort of let that work. But the Lord would say, when you stepped up and led even with a national and a region, nation and region in mind, there was a feeling that it could not gain traction. And the Lord says to you, there is a fresh anointing to have national and regional impact that I want to hand out. For this is the hour when this nation will receive the God-appointed leadership of this house. And the Lord says again, who are you? And the Lord even answers it and says, you were made for great impact and great influence. You were made to lead and be followed. You were made for the people and for the land and for her communities. Let's jump up. I'm going to kill your small thinking. Actually, would you mind putting your hands on your heads? We're not going to do head, shoulders, knees and toes, but head, we're just going to kill it, okay? And really what you're doing in that is you're just saying, I agree this needs to go. That's just really what you're doing in that, if that's okay, family. So I speak to the smallness of the thinking and the diminishing of the dream, and even that which you have forgotten you were called for, and I kill your small thinking right now in the name of Jesus. And even the coffins that the enemy has nailed around your head, that you would think in a certain way and that you would never have an expansive plan, we smash the coffins around you right now, and I loose, even as you have your hands on your heads, the ability to dream big again. And every little fox of distraction that has got you looking around and eyes down all the time, we say that any assignment of distraction now flees from the saints of the Most High in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, just if you can sit down, apart from the leadership, any sort, the leadership team of the church and their spouses. Are we all up? I think I prophesied over most of you. Hi. Okay, do you just want to raise your hands before the Lord? What the Lord said of a new mantle for leadership that will gain traction, it is my great privilege and my joy to work with the voice of the Lord and to loose right now the new mantles and the new ability for national and regional leadership over every single one of you in Jesus' name. And the Lord says, I am dressing you with leadership weight. For the Lord says, I did not make you a local church, and I did not make you even a denominational church, says the Lord. But the Lord says, I made you a standard for churches across the land, says God. And so the Lord says to you, I am dressing you in the days of the anointing of your high call, says God. For the Lord says, your high call begins right now. Amen. Woo, have a seat. And the Lord would also, God had a lot to say to you, didn't he? And the Lord would also say to you, I am giving you an anointing for relational warfare. I actually believe that this portion of the word, I have preached this in a number of places, that bit, and even, you know, on our Facebook feed, because I feel like this is something God is doing in the nation to the churches. I am giving you an anointing for relational warfare, and you will find a greater bonding and a greater heart to heart than you have had the capacity to manage before. You see, you and I know you can meet people and have coffee or eat with most people, but you cannot war with most people. And we have to be, you have to be, so bonded together. And actually, I don't necessarily feel that you're not bonded together. I just think there's a new blessing of a bonding so that you can be a war people rather than a war person. And God is reviving not just family and not just relationships, because I think you're already there on family and relationships, but he is resurrecting relational warfare where you fight together. And we know when someone else prays for us, it is supercharged with the power of God. And God is making you dependent on each other to a new level. And the Lord says, I am going to enable some weaknesses to come on occasions that can only be medicated by the prayers of somebody else. For the Lord says, I will have this house continue in its as one mindset, but the Lord says, you will put your hands on the same swords. And just raise your hand right now. I loose to you a new ability for relational warfare in this house. That it would not just we agree and we eat, but it would be we agree and we fight. And I loose the capacity for relational warfare over you right now in Jesus' name. Whoa. So we're still loosely in Acts 19. My father is a theologian and a teacher. He'd be having a hairy canary at the jumping around. Anyway, Acts 19. The sons got beaten up. We just said that. The sons of Sceva. And then a revival started. Revivals don't start because you turned up to church. And because you prayed in holy huddles, as good as that is. And revivals don't even start because your worship was awesome. And it was. And what we learn is that through a confrontation, something was broken open. And a whole city and a whole region get saved. And revival and awakening starts, I believe, scripturally, through conflict. There's a moment of birthing, a moment of pain, a moment where life starts. And so my question is, what do you need to confront here that will birth your revival and birth your victory into the new thing? And so when God says to you, who are you? I would say to you, do you think your church is displaced? And displaced is, it is not really where it should be. It's been displaced from that. And you obviously know about displaced people groups, displaced workers, church displaced from its role in society, ejected from the fullness of what it should be doing, displaced from its place of honor in the community, displaced from its destiny. And you can be displaced even in your business deals personally. You can be displaced from fullness, where the enemy has sat in the place where you should be. And I felt like the Lord was saying, you are doing a good job, but you need to confront and overthrow displacement. And the Lord says, deal with displacement so that you can move into the reality of who you are. And God wants to work with you so that you grow and get planted fully in the right place. And he says, I have come to re-root you as a church, not just in the right geographical place, but in the right place for the sake of the nation. I have to say, I prophesy all over the world. There are few houses that carry the weight of the call that this house does. We need you to succeed. The future of the church in the nation needs you to succeed. My church in Glasgow, Christian International Glasgow, needs you to succeed. We need you to be such a provocation and such a standard that you are a people that I can send my teams to learn from. That's how it needs to be. Can you stand? I know I told you, I warned you it would be Anglican, charismatic, maybe Anglican. I don't know. It is time to say, we will no longer be displaced. And you know from the book of Job, Job 22:28, that you decree a thing and it gets established. You read that scripture, nod at me. So I'm going to lead you in some decrees, all right? I will not be displaced. We will not be displaced. We will not stand in the wrong place.
We will not stand in the wrong place.
We will stand in the right place.
We will stand in the right place.
I will not be uprooted from where I am supposed to be. So let me just fight for you again. Let me start with this personally and just warfare for you. Every single one of you individually that has been displaced and you know you are personally not in the fullness of your destiny. Wave at me if you feel, oh my goodness, look at that. The number of you personally displaced. In the name of Jesus, I shift the demon of displacement out of your personal destiny space. And right now, as Isaiah says, that God opens up straight paths. We open up the straight path. And right now, like Joseph was hijacked into destiny, we loosen ability for you to be catapulted and hijacked right now into your destiny. And we end the days of your displacement from fullness and your displacement from destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. Who? Now let's deal with it corporately. Everywhere this church, oh, that's quite strong, isn't it? Okay, everywhere this church has been displaced, and that looks to me in the spirit like tent pegs have anchored you in the wrong place. We deal with the assignment of displacement and we unhook you in Jesus' name from everywhere you have been held in the wrong place in Jesus' mighty name. And I speak to the spirit of displacement with your permission and your agreement, church. And we say, you shift right now off this house, and we loose an ability in Jesus' name for you to shift emotionally, spiritually, geographically, financially, relationally into the fullness of your call right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Whew. I'm in Matthew 16. It's inspiring, this next bit, okay? And remember, it's the time where Jesus says to his disciples in Caesarea Philippi, who do you say that I am? What you know about Caesarea Philippi is that it was one of the most evil areas of the day. It was a modern, an old day Las Vegas. And Jerusalem, where they had been, was religious. Capernaum, where Jesus had done most of his earthly ministry, was also religious. and Caesarea Philippi was not. And Jesus has led his disciples deliberately out of a religious environment, and he's taken them to the non-religious environment of Caesarea Philippi to say, who do you say that I am? And his disciples see him unhindered by a religious atmosphere. And all of a sudden, in that moment when religion is broken, Peter says, oh, but you're the Christ. I mean, you're the Messiah. And Jesus says, you could only have received this by the Father. Can I be blunt? The rest of it wasn't really. Can I be blunt? I heard the Lord say this. It is time to knock the religious spirit once and for all out your door, for it is hindering you seeing who you are to become. And the Lord says the Achilles heel of the church is the spirit of religion. And the Lord would say to you, it is not the traditional sense of your understanding, you know, like, I don't want to be controlled, I don't want to be manipulated. We all recognize that as religious, don't we? And we also recognize religion in the way services are constructed. I was going to say up, down, but you don't love that today. You know what I mean, the construction of a religious service rather than a free service. But I heard the Lord say this, the religious spirit tells you what your church should be and how it ought to be. And there is a pressure from the religious spirit to make your church something different from what God wants it to be. And the Lord says, it is time for you to agree that it goes, for it is only when religion is booted out that true revelation can come. What is your reason for existing, church? Who are you? What is the unique selling point of this house? Because you know, through even a light reading of the New Testament, that the call of God on every house is not the same. And it's why you get a letter to the Ephesians in Ephesus, or the church in Rome, or the church in Corinth. And they are bespoke letters because every church has a slightly different call. It's not a letters written to all the churches. They did not do everything. You really need to hear this because this is where the problem is. The New Testament churches, each of them had a specific remit. They did not all do everything. And the spirit of religion will wear you out by telling you you need to do everything that looks like the word of God, where you have specific anointings and specific calls and a specific angel, just like even you read in the opening three chapters of Revelation, where each church had an angel and a specific call. And the Lord would say to you, this is the church that I will make a destination center. That's why you need a car park, not just a local church. The Lord says, your call is to be trainers and equippers for the region. That is why there are many who can teach and preach in the house. I've seen a disproportionate number of preachers and teachers in this house. Usually you only find one or two. But the Lord says, you are the supernatural training center for the county and beyond. That is your DNA. The Lord says, you are the miracle church for this region. That is how you are to provoke. For the Lord says, I will open up a well of signs signs and wonders that will make the press and it will bring a provocation to other churches. And the Lord says, you are the signs and wonders people for this region. And you are the house where my Holy Spirit will dwell in power. And the Lord says, make available the on-ramps of connectivity. Make accessible the conferences in schools that many others may be raised up. And the Lord says there will even be a leadership training institute, not for the teenagers, but for those already in business and senior leadership, says the Lord. And the Lord says you will raise a generation of church leaders up to a new level, says God. And finally, there is a mindset of addition that the church tends to have. You get a sheep, you put it in a church, you add another sheep, you add another service, addition. The church in Rome at the end of the first century had 200,000 churches. That was a fifth of the population in church. They were all in house churches. They estimate each house church had about 20 people in it. That is 10,000 house churches in 67 years in one city. That is 150 new churches each year for 70 years in a city the size of Greater Glasgow. That is a church planting movement. That is not addition, that is multiplication. And they had a mindset of multiplication to get to those numbers. And the Lord would say to you, I want to make your atmosphere pregnant with multiplication. And the Lord says, you will even start a church planting movement from within the house. And the Lord says, each church planter will go out with the house mindset of multiplication and will in turn plant many churches. For the Lord says, you are to grab hold of the mantling of multiplication and you are to teach multiplication to many, says the Lord. And the Lord says, this atmosphere will not just see personal multiplication, but you will pass this multiplication onto other churches that the Lord says he will give you connection with. And the Lord says even other denominations will come into multiplication because I am putting the atmosphere of multiplication here first. I have to say, that anointing, those numbers that I read you, 150 new churches each year for 70 years. We've not seen that anywhere in the earth. We have not had the fullness of Pentecost, if I may be as bold as to say that. But right now, and let's jump to your feet, and with this we're going to finish. Father, we see the fullness of Pentecost, and we see there was an atmosphere of multiplication that was woven in them when the Holy Spirit moved. And they did not think small. They did not think addition. And so, Father God, what you have said, we now reach up into the heavens and we pull it down in agreement over this house. And I loose in you as leaders, and I loose in you as the lead house of the region, an anointing for multiplication that will go forth in a church planting movement right now. And God, I ask that you would reach down inside them and that you would pull up a new identity. And in the name of Jesus, I loose a new movement of gifts. Oh God, revive their spirit man. And someone in here, the Lord says, will create a movement of miracles, not just a one-off. And someone will create a movement movement of deliverance, and someone else a movement of salvation, and a movement of the prophets, and a movement of kingdom business. And I pull up your supernatural destiny right now. And as you are in the womb of the nation, I bless you not to miscarry, but to bring to full term and to birth all that you are called to birth. And we loose even a new Pentecost over you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't think I've ever had a follow something like that. Have you got anything specific for us as a house? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being true to who you are and your call, for knowing who you are and blessing the nations and provoking us. If you don't feel provoked this morning, then you must have been sleeping. And there's a couple of reactions to provocation in our life. One of them is that we discount it because it's too painful. It would be a mistake to do that, church. We are instructed in God's word that when a prophecy and prophets are among us, that we weigh up and we consider and we prayerfully respond, and we're at that place. But there's many things that have been said this morning that have been absolute confirmations of what we already know in our hearts. You remember 3 weeks ago, I believe I brought a prophetic picture of driving on the motorway and choosing which lane you were in. And if I began to talk, if someone in front of you is in the wrong lane, it affects everybody behind them. And this is God's call to us to be in the right lane. And I am absolutely committed to whatever God is asking of us, that we will do that. Church, can we respond and say, God, whatever you're asking of me, whatever you're asking of us, we're in, God. We're in. We're in. And we'll carry it with humility, authenticity. We'll carry it knowing that we're stewarding, not owning. We'll carry it knowing that it's your call, and we'll serve you well, Jesus. We want to serve you well. So be provoked. Be stretched. Some of you, you thought you'd been busy, but you've actually been comfortable. It's time to get uncomfortable. It's time to step out, to move from your place of displacement into your place of authentic call. Father, we thank you for bringing your servant among us this day. We thank you for the weight of what it is that we've shared with and received this day. Give us great wisdom and give us an incredible awareness of your Spirit leading and guiding us in the steps of taking this forward. For the sake of your kingdom, power, impact in the nations of the world, we pray. And all God's people didn't just whisper amen because that's too comfortable. All God's people declared an amen. Amen.